If you have a Bible, go ahead and grab it. I'm going to give you back some time from this morning. All right? We went over by like 15. I'm going to give you some back tonight, all right? Because I am not going to talk to you for 45 minutes. Because you're going to turn me off in about, well, I don't know how long. I don't know how to talk about it. All right. So here's what I want to do tonight. I think that you could, you might be able to agree with me on this. I struggle anyway. I don't know about you. But sometimes I struggle. I know what the command is to share my faith. I get it. I read it. I understand it mentally. I grasp it. Doing it seems to be the struggle. It's not understanding it. We get it. We know who Jesus is. We understand. Okay, so now we're supposed to talk about it, and we get that. But how do we do it? How do we do it? How do we go about fulfilling the Great Commission? And so I want to kind of give you some ways that I've been processing this lately and trying to figure out, all right, how do I do this? And so we're going to talk about it from a backdoor approach. So you have two approaches when you talk to somebody. You have a front door approach. Hey, I want to just sit down and talk to you about Jesus. And so that's an approach. And then you have a backdoor approach. Let's use the stuff that's going on in life to create spiritual conversations with it. Okay, so let's just start with Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read the Great Commission. It's not that we don't know it, but we're going to read it so that we just hear it again. And then I'm going to talk to you about going down a river. It is biblical, by the way. In Judges chapter 5, verse 21, the Kishon River swept them away. All right, so you can read it in your spare time. So it's there, I promise. So I'm going to read that. I'm not going to read that, but I'm going to talk to you about our little trip and just how do we use this from a backdoor approach to talk about biblical concepts. All right, so Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus came near to them and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you to the end of the age." There's four parts of this statement. There is go. That's a part. Go. It entails that people aren't coming to us, that we're going to have to go out. Make disciples. That is the imperative. That is the what we're supposed to do. This is the direction. This is what we have to do: make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. So four parts to it. The part that is most important is the make disciples. And so to make disciples, we have to share. We have to share our faith, and that's a struggle. It's something that maybe you've tried to do that, and you got all the butterflies and the I just don't know how to do it. It's tough. I do this regularly with baseball when people have what I call light bulb moments. Okay, this is an easy way that I'm able to do that. When people have what I call light bulb moments. So we've been working on a particular thing for a while. Maybe it's how to throw a curveball, and all of a sudden, wham, they get it. They drop the curveball in there. It's pretty. It's perfect. It's exactly what it's supposed to look like. Light bulb goes off. And then you get to stop and say, well, I had a light bulb moment. Let me tell you about it. And so I get to share my light bulb moment. It has nothing to do with baseball. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ, because that's the light bulb moment. And so that's an easy way that I'm able to do that. But here's just from our something fun. And so going to the river, I said this morning, this might not be applicable for everyone in every situation. But as you're doing things in life, looking for ways to turn that into a spiritual conversation. A few years ago, we went to the beach, and I gave out a little piece of paper, and everybody had to go find a seashell and do all this stuff, and they had to, in their little families, talk about they had to have a spiritual conversation. When I got here 10 years ago, which seems like yesterday, our student ministry was such that they could talk about anything until you said Jesus, and then it was just silent. And why can't we talk about Christ? Like, I don't understand that. Why don't we talk about Him? And so that's been something that we have tried to do. I've said this I don't know if I've said it from here. I know I think I have, but very proud of the group that just graduated. Everybody that walked, every one of those people have gone off to college and have found a Christian organization on campus and found a church within 2 weeks. Every single one of them. You know, I mean, it's been really, really a neat thing to watch as they have gone off and just sought after, you know, Christ to further that on to the next area of their life. And so you don't have the big 80% gap that falls off after they graduate. At least I can tell you this year we didn't have that. All right. So anyway, but I want to tell you, yesterday we went to the Cardeque River. It's a 4.5 hour drive. Jonathan Powers drove for us. It's a 4.5 hour drive. And so you think, well, I mean, you're going 4.5 hours to get in a tube and float down a river. That just doesn't seem, I mean, can't we go to Itchituckney? Isn't that closer? It's a different river. It's whitewater. Okay, you think you'd need to be in a raft when you go down this river. It's pretty, there's parts of it that are pretty intense. And so as we pull up to the place, we're pulling in, and the river's right there. I mean, all you do is go up to the little booth, pay the guy, get your tube, and jump in the river. I mean, that's basically it. And so as we pull up, there was a guy, there were four guys, actually, who were coming up there, and the guy was trying to, they wanted to go tubing, because you see the big sign, you know, when you go tubing, yeah, everybody wants to go tubing, and so they come up there. And so the guy's warning them, the river's really low. It's going to take you a lot longer than it normally does. You're going to get stuck a lot. And he's kind of warning them all, you know, about this river. And so they choose not to. So the first thing I thought of is nobody made us go to the river. Nobody made us get in the river. This guy was trying to talk them out of getting in the river. And I think when those four guys left the river, and this is what I was thinking at 2 this morning as Ty was talking, you know, nobody makes you accept the gift of grace. You know, what a great conversation starter. And that was something that was so simple. Nobody makes you get in that river. Nobody makes you accept the gift of grace. But it is a gift, no doubt. There is a gift. Romans 6:23, y'all probably know it, but I'm going to turn here anyway. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Usually you start at Romans 3:23, you go right to Romans 6:23. When you know, different plans, you do different things, but it's kind of the Romans road. So, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I didn't talk to our students about this one on the way back. I talked about some of these other ones that we're going to go through, but you know, the first thing is this one didn't really hit me until later, going back and thinking about the different things that went down as we were up there. You know, that this guy was trying to talk them out of getting on the river. I think if you can talk somebody out of becoming a follower of Christ, then they didn't really want to be a follower of Christ. They didn't want to follow Christ. Not that I'm trying to talk them out of it, but you know, we have a different view of what it means to follow Christ than say somebody that's in Saudi Arabia. Okay, when they become a follower of Christ, they understand. And so this is the common practice in most of those countries, Arabic countries, is that the pastor of the church will sit you down and tell you every single reason that you should not be a follower of Christ. It's going to cost you your life, possibly. You're going to get beat. You're not going to have a family. They're going to disown you. And they just sit there and rattle off and lay out every single reason you can't become a follower of Christ. You should not do this. And at the end of that, if you still want to do it, all right, here's what we're going to do. You want to go this route? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go all in. So just know, go ahead and get everything that is yours and go ahead and pack it up and take it with you. Because when you walk out of this house tonight, you're not walking back in it. You're never going to go back to your home. Because once you become a follower of Christ, they're going to kick you out. And it's the wording is, it is as if you were never born. It's not that you just got kicked out. It's as if you were never born. They don't even talk about you. Your name is no longer, when they list the descendants, your name is not even listed. Okay, that's how big of a deal it is when you become a Christian. But we have this gift of grace that Ty did a great job of breaking down this morning. That's an easy way into that. Something as simple as four guys turning away and going away from the river, not getting in it. All right? Second thing, this was a quote that was on the wall down in the youth room for quite a while, but we always drift downstream. When you get in a tube and you plop down in it and you're in the river, it's a one-way street. You're not going up upstream. You're going to go downstream. You're always going to drift downstream. So this was a quote. It was by Andy Stanley, and the quote was on the board down here for a long time. It says, "We don't drift in good directions. We discipline and prioritize ourselves there." We're never going to drift in good directions. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Pay very careful attention to what you hear so that you do not drift." Okay, the idea is pay very careful attention to what you hear from God so you don't go off the road, you don't drift away. When you're riding down the road, I know none of y'all, I'm the only person in here that's ever experienced this, I know, but driving down the road and I see something off in the distance to my right and my eyes catch it and I look over there. And it's not long before the car goes in the same direction that my eyes go. The car is going right. I mean, it's just a matter of how many seconds is it going to take me to get there. Because wherever we're focused, whatever we're focused on, we start drifting in that direction. And this is the main one that I talked to them about last night as we were getting on the bus and heading back, is to pay very careful attention to what you hear so that you do not drift. When you get in that river and you start going down, there's places that you can get out and get off, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and you can stop, you can get hung up on some rocks, but you know, in life, the current of life is always trying to pull you downstream. And the more that we walk through life and the more liberal our country gets and the more anti-Christian it gets, the more the current of life is going to try to take us and take us downstream. And it's like swimming upstream against the current. It gets harder. And it's going to continue in that direction in America, I'm afraid. Third thing that we saw is that sometimes you get stuck on some rocks. Sometimes you get stuck on a lot of rocks. The river was very low. Sometimes you get stuck on rocks. And so I thought about these rocks that we're getting stuck on. And it's kind of like standards in our life. We set standards. I will never do this, or I'm always going to do this, or whatever that standard is. We set them, and we set them pretty high. And then as that current of life starts pulling, we hang in there. We're stuck on those rocks. I'm not going to do this. And that current keeps pulling. And the easy thing to do is just, I'm going to get back over in that current and go ahead and let it take me on down a little bit further. But I'm not going to go like all in. I'm just going to go a little bit further. And we start to take our standards and just drop them a little bit. I had a friend of mine in college. Well, he was a friend in high school, but when he got to college, this kid, brilliant kid, made a 1430 on the SAT, highest you can make at that point. It was 1600. He made a 1430. He had all kinds of scholarships and stuff, going to University of Georgia, having to pay like $1,000, I think, a year to go to UGA. Just had it made, and in one semester was back home because his extracurricular activities were a little too much and his classroom attendance was none. So he turned around and he went right back home. But before he left, I remember him talking about this. His dad was a preacher. we don't want to talk about that. But his dad was a preacher, and I remember him talking. He was talking about it. We were in FCA, and he was talking about, you know, the things that I'm not going to do when I go to college. I'm not going to make these wrong decisions. And pretty much everything he said he wasn't going to do, within a week and a half, he was already into it. And so we see that current is just constantly pulling. He set in for a minute, but then he pushed out I'm not going to go to the party. But then he pushed out and drifted on down a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And the current's never going to turn around and go the other direction. It's always going that same way. It's always pulling us away from God. So I wrote down James 4:7, submit to the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, when we submit to God and we continue to resist the devil, that current's always going to be there to pull us down. But we can stick on those rocks a little bit better. We can stay there because we have power that is not of our own power. It is from God. So remember in your mind as we're walking through this, just think through life and turning things into a spiritual conversation. These are just little things that we can take as we're going and doing something. I know that many of you have been to the Itchituckney or to some kind of river where you're going down, and these are just built-in things in your life that you can turn into a spiritual conversation. Fourth thing that I thought about. We didn't really set it up this way. It just kind of happens. You jump in the river and you get in your tube, and it takes some people a little bit longer to get in their tube. They're flipping out, or like not flipping out, but flipping out of the tube, trying to get in it. People are flipping out because of the cold water, because it is cold when you start to get in it. But it ends up that you just kind of go down the river together in certain groups. I was in a fast group. We were going. We were moving down that river. And so you just kind of end up in those groups. And this is one of our checkpoints. With our student ministry, we're dealing with these seven checkpoints. And this is one of our seven checkpoints, is that your friends will determine the direction and the quality of your life. Our friends determine the direction and quality of our life. And I thought about that. You know, maybe that just seems like, well, that's probably just like a youth thing. But it's not. It is not. It affects that all the way up. Our friends are going to determine the direction and quality of our life. That's the checkpoint principle. The verse that goes with that checkpoint principle is Proverbs 13:20, and it says, "The one that walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm." And this is exactly what we're dealing with right now on Wednesday nights with our student ministry, is just friends, building healthy friendships. You know, what do healthy friendships look like? We're walking through different friendships we see in Scripture, and what do healthy friendships look like? This week, we're going to flip that over and look at the other side of the equation. What do unhealthy friendships look like? And we're going to see some of those coming out of Scripture. And so when we start to go down this river, we're always in groups because we do life together. That's what the church is about, doing life together, not just on Sunday morning, not just on Wednesday night and on Sunday night, but doing life together. As we walk through life, we should be together. When I'm down, maybe you pick me up, or when you're down, I can pick you up. That's the picture coming out of Scripture, what the church is supposed to be like. The next two I kind of lumped together here. Bumps and bruises are just part of it. That's part of it. There's rocks in the river. You're going to get bumps and bruises. And the one that I lumped in there with that one is sometimes, too, the rapids, they get a little bit more than you think you should handle in a tube. And you just kind of keep going. The first time we ever got on the car decay, we got to the final rapid. It's called Blackberry Falls, and you get to the very end of it. And at certain times when the river is a little bit higher than it was when we were there, it's a Class 3 rapid. Now, if you know anything about rapids and Class 3, that's moving. You would seriously question the fact that you're in a tube trying to go over this. So the first time I went, Cade was 5 years old. And we got right up to the edge, and I'm looking down at this rapid, and I'm thinking, this is a bad parenting decision right here. I mean, this is not wise. There's nothing about this that is wise. I'm about to send my 5-year-old over a ledge that I'm not even sure this is good for me to go over, and I'm sending my 5-year-old over it. And so we did it. We lived through it. It was scary, but you just kind of keep going. There's Dory has a little saying, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. She says it over and over and over again. Man, that's it. Sometimes life is rough, and just keep swimming. Just, you know, get back in God's Word. Allow Him to lead us and guide us, and just keep going. It's a pretty good principle. Put down here, life is not always pretty, but we're going to trust God anyway. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but always acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight." It's probably a verse that you have memorized early on. I remember memorizing that verse when I was just a little kid. But that verse throughout my life has meant different things, but it's always been kind of a backbone as I was walking through life. Because no matter what's coming my way, I do know that I can trust in the Lord. Now, trusting in the Lord with every bit of my heart, sometimes that's been a struggle. I know that I can trust Him. I just got to give that one more piece up. And that one too. Oh, and didn't think about that one. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not on my own understanding, but always acknowledge Him, and He'll make paths straight. The last one I thought about, and this is kind of where my buddy was in college, as he was getting in the river and going down the river of life, and he would dig in, my standard was here, and then he would pull out back in the current and drop that standard down a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. Well, eventually you end up at the bottom of the river. And yesterday, two of our kids, I don't know which two it was, when we got to the takeout point, they let their tubes go. So I came down a little bit later and saw that the tubes were on down the river. Well, how are they going to get back? Because nobody else apparently thought about going down there to get them when they were close. So I left to go get them. And I went down and I grabbed them, and I started coming back up that river. And if you've ever tried to go upstream against the current, whoo, it was a long trip. By the time I got to them, I was probably a quarter mile from that takeout point. And these things were moving down the river pretty good. And so by the time I got to it, they were way down there. And I got to them and started bringing them back. By the time I got back, I was whooped. That wore me out probably more than anything else I had done. But when you get back to when you get down to the bottom of the river, and in life, you get down to the bottom of the river, there's no turning around and undoing everything that you just did and trying to get back to the top. You need somebody to give you a lift. And when you get down to the bottom of the river, there's these vans, and they're pretty rough looking, and they're going to take you back up to the top where you parked and get back in on the bus and head back home. In life, God is the only way. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness," from all of it. You know, that was my buddy in college. He came back home and he sat in front of Daddy and told him the whole story. And, you know, he prayed and asked for forgiveness from God, asked for forgiveness from his parents, asked forgiveness from a lot of people. And you know what he is today? He's a preacher. Yeah, he is. He's a preacher. And so, you know, he made some bad mistakes, but he got to the bottom of that river, and he looked back up and knew there was no way to get back up to the top and undo all that he had done. It was only by the grace of God that he was able to do that. Okay. And so, you know, that's Jesus when he said this in Matthew 11:30, that "my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the picture. You know, he is always ready to take the burdens off of us in life. I was talking to Butch before, I guess it was right there at training union, and then right there at the beginning of that, and he was telling me about just different in his life, different business practices that people have had, and just really made some really dumb decisions. Not him, but these people he was dealing with made really bad decisions for their businesses, and their businesses suffered from it because they were dishonest. They didn't do things the right way. They, you know, all those things. And God said, "If you'll follow me, My yoke is easy, my burden is light. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be back over into the Arabic speaking countries, and there's some issues there. When they come to know Christ, it's not just fun and games and everything is hunky-dory, but they know eternally they're secure, and they know that God is with them. There's a peace that transcends all understanding, as Paul wrote about in Philippians, that comes over them, and they're able to go and do the things that God's called them to do. There is a success story in that. There's a president of Liberty University, president of Truett McConnell, both, they're brothers, and they came from a Muslim country, were disowned, and now their whole families have come to know Christ because of their faith. And so you know that it's not the end when you're kicked out. God's still working and still moving in lives. But it's tough when we get down to the bottom of the river and look up, and we know all the decisions we've made and how bad we've messed up. God is the one that is there that can restore relationships, can restore us as our spiritual walk, can restore everything. And so, you know, these are just a few little things as we're walking through life. I don't always do it. I'm not perfect in this by any stretch when it comes to sharing my faith. But I think if we just think, if we're cognizant of the fact that we're supposed to do it, and we're walking through life, and we hear just people talking and things that we're going through life with people, going and doing something as silly as rafting down a river or tubing down a river. You know, there's so many things that we can stop and talk about when we get done. Last night when we were on the bus, went to a rest area, and so everybody was pretty much awake, and so I got on the little thing and started talking through the little, whatever that thing is, the little microphone system on there, and just started talking about this stuff here, because this, you know, going tubing with a group, that's fun. It's fun, and it would have been fun no matter what. But what do we take away from it? So you think when you're doing vacation stuff or taking grandchildren somewhere, you know, how do we turn that into a spiritual conversation? Because it's this, you know, in that moment, when right after you've come off that river and you kind of get a bit better picture. 3 weeks from then, you remember it, but it's not, the teaching time is not there anymore. The teaching point is right there in front of you. And so you remember it a lot better. This summer, you know, I'm hoping to be able to go to Brasstown Bald or to Stone Mountain and take kids and get up on the top of that and look out and talk about the importance of having a biblical worldview, trying to use the backdrop that we find ourselves in to really speak to, you know, the biblical principles that we read about and how they really affect our life. And so that's just another thing that we have coming down the pipeline with this same idea. But tonight, I just want to challenge us. We're going to sing a song in a second. And not, you know, I don't know what the response time needs to look like or whatever. It's more just we're going to sing a song together as a body of Christ. And here's my challenge, really, this week, is to turn some kind of conversation into a spiritual conversation. Have a spiritual... It don't matter who it's with and where it is. Turn something into a spiritual conversation this week. And try to, it may be something based off of a Sunday school lesson that you heard, or something you've heard from Ty this morning, or I don't know, maybe you like to go down a river, and so you think about that, going down a river. But whatever it looks like, just this week, my challenge is just to find somebody, have a spiritual conversation with them, and start making that a practice in our life. Because the more we do it, the easier it is to do, and the more we start thinking about how do we have these spiritual conversations, okay? Let me pray. God, thank you. Thank you that we have the opportunity that you have given us. The one thing that we will not be able to do in heaven, we will not be able to go out and share with lost people the faith we have in Jesus Christ. And so I pray that we would do that while we're here on earth. We read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, it says that we're writing these things to you. We've written all this stuff to this group of people so that our joy may be made complete. Because without this command being put into action, we will never know what true joy is. We will fall short of what no understanding what joy is. So I pray you'd help us this week as we walk through this week to be able to have spiritual conversations with somebody in our sphere of influence. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.